I see no countdown.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea or your water, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is going on. And you might notice this morning I'm not sitting alone. Today is the real day of our meeting up with Amy. Amy Patty Colvin, who, as you know, does a lot of work with meditation. We've had her on the show before. We've talked about meditation and compassion and love and all of these feel-good energies. Out of the last visit with you, Amy, we ended up having a conversation about chi energy. And someone had asked the question about what do you do when energy is stuck, right? Or when you can't seem to move something. And somebody else asked if I knew somebody who could work with that. And I thought immediately of you. And so here we are today. So let me just give Amy an opportunity to introduce herself. Tell us a little bit about you. I see a couple of new people here that may not have been present during that show and won't know exactly who you are. So tell us a little bit.
Great. Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me on today, Janet, and inviting me to talk about a subject that just lights me up. So, again, for those of you who haven't met me, my name is Amy Patty Colvin, and I have a business where I help people learn how to cultivate peace of mind, resilience, and vitality through the use of compassion meditation and Qigong. And part of why this is so near and dear to my heart is that in the last 25 years that I've been working with a teacher, I've seen such huge transformation in my life in terms of, in fact, okay, so there was perhaps a little bit of confusion about when I was actually going to meet with Janet, and you alluded to that. So perhaps you thought I might be here last week. I was actually at a week-long retreat with my longtime teacher, and one of the women that was there remembered me from a retreat probably in 2004. And she said,
Wow.
"Oh, Amy," she goes, "I remember when I met you, you were a shrinking violet, and now you're an Amazon woman." And it just made me laugh. And I loved that really clear acknowledgement of how far I've grown as a person using the techniques that I now teach to others. So it's what I follow. My heart practice is a blend of Taoism, Confucianism, and Buddhism, and it has a name called Simfat, which probably you never would have heard of. So there's that. And I also, in 2014, ended up getting involved with or enrolled in the teacher training program for Compassion Cultivation Training, which is a program put together at the University of or Stanford University School of Medicine. So I have that very pragmatic teaching style now from that CCT program that I picked up when I was going through the certification program at Stanford, and all that beautiful, flowing, intuitive practice that I've been doing for 25 years. So that's a
She,
little bit. Go
in
ahead.
other words, she's the perfect blend of the Virgo she is, pulling the positive characteristics from Pisces on the other side. So blending both the practical down to earth and getting down to business side, as well as the more spiritual, esoteric, meditative, compassionate energies that we can pull in from Pisces, to put it in an astrological spin. So
Awesome.
let's just say a quick good morning to people who are checking in with us. Good morning, Vanita and Linda and Laura. Good morning to you, Patricia. Connie is with us this morning. Amy and Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and Asa and Colleen. Debbie Hedden, good morning to you. And Mimi, of course, good morning to you. And Stephanie Coy, she says it's 2 a.m. Australian Daylight Savings Time. Wow, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us.
Definitely.
If you're up at 2 a.m., I hope it is because you are having a creative urge and not because you just can't sleep. So, Amy, thank you so much for that introduction to you and the work you do. So, I think what led us up to the discussion that we were having that day is we were talking about how sometimes we get stuck in patterns as individuals, as a collective, even at times, patterns that are in lack, perhaps, or patterns of ill health, or stuck in a relationship, and or, you know, in the mind. I think that day we were actually talking about the mind and the mind getting stuck in thoughts, you know, patterns of thoughts. And what can you suggest for us? What kind of tools do you have that you can share with us about how to move some of that energy when it gets stuck?
Yeah, great. I will have lots of things to say. So let's start with talking about the mind, and then we can shift into moving energy, whether it's emotional energy, physical energy through the body as well. But let's first start talking about the mind. And I find it fascinating because in the United States, mindfulness has really begun to sort of become mainstream. And I think that's pretty funny because mindfulness by the name alone is all about the mind, right? So the way I teach meditation is to help people actually get out of the mind. I know there are some meditation practices where as you sit and thoughts come drifting through, they encourage you to label those thoughts or label the emotions. And that's, to me, just another intellectual exercise. So what I encourage people to do, and we'll practice a bunch of these little techniques as we go through this conversation today, what I encourage people to do is to focus on their breathing. And what I want everyone to do is put your hands over your belly, and you can either drop your gaze, close your eyes, whichever is more comfortable for you. And I want you to take a series of nice deep breaths in through the nose, allowing your abdomen to fully relax. And as you breathe deeply, notice that abdomen slowly and gently moving forward. And as you exhale, that abdomen gently moves towards the spine. Nothing forced, it just relaxes back into place. So you're breathing in, allowing the belly to relax and expand forward. Breathing out, the belly gently goes back into place. Continue with that breathing in. Noticing that flow of air through the nose, through the belly, wherever you notice it in the body. Exhaling. Inhaling. Okay, and then raise your gaze, open your eyes, whichever. So in that brief moment, did you notice that you weren't thinking about the grocery list, right?
Right. I was thinking about breathing.
You were thinking about breathing. So that is a really quick and easy way to break the mental chatter cycle. If you ever need an anchor, go back to the breath, go back to the sensations of the body. So Qigong is actually a combination of two words that essentially means skillfully working with breath. So there can be movement involved, but no matter what, there's always breath involved. So use the breath as that anchor to bring you back. You mentioned mantra as you opened our conversation. There are clearly practices that use mantras to help you forget about the grocery list. The way I teach is that if you need to use mantra as a tool, you can, but the best tool of all is simply bringing yourself back to the breath. Always bring yourself back to the breath. Now, the other piece is that as human beings, our brains go all the time. That's wired to do. You know, so I invite you not to be hard on yourself if you're trying to meditate and you notice thoughts going through your head. That's normal. Welcome to being human. The gift is when you can catch yourself thinking those thoughts and go, oh yeah, let me go back to my breath.
Yeah.
And then you drift off and go, oh wait, I'm going to go back to my breath. But be kind to yourself in the process. There is nothing wrong with you if you think. People think all the time. So the other nice thing about this practice, this Samphat practice that I've been doing for 25 years, is there's a lot of movement involved. For anybody that knows me, I move around all the time. And
And she talks with her hands.
And I talk with my hands to the point where years and years ago, I was actually in New Zealand on a Rotary Foundation graduate scholarship. And I was at like the Rotary convention for the entire country. And I was talking to somebody. And eventually this man came over to me later and he goes, "Oh, are you speaking sign language?" It just made me laugh. But part of my expression as a human being is through movement. And so I love being able to incorporate movement into my meditation practice. So does that help explain a little tiny bit about how to settle the mind? And if any of you out there who are watching have questions, please feel free to drop them into the comments and I'll be happy to answer what I can in real time. But
we've had more people join us. That's awesome.
Great. So go ahead, Janet.
So that is very helpful because I'll tell you what happened to me the other day. I was driving, so I couldn't get into a meditation, right? Obviously. And yet my mind was chattering at me about all kinds of stuff. And I remembered a mantra, actually, and it was Om Shanti Ananda. And I couldn't remember that second word. My mind was just blank with that second word. So all I could do was keep chanting Om until finally that word came to me. And then I just used that mantra while I couldn't really sit and, I mean, I could have breathed. I guess I could have been breathing. But doing that mantra really helped get my mind onto something. It gave me a focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think, you know, maybe sometimes mantras do really help.
Absolutely. They can be a really powerful tool. So if you know, sometimes even just breathing isn't enough of a tool to get you out of that mental spin. So absolutely, a mantra is a good one. Or if you did want to connect it back to the breath, you could say inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. And some meditation teachings teach you to try to count to 10 in your head. And there's this wonderful story about a guy named Herbert Benson who was doing some research on this, on meditation and how it affects the brain. And I think he was using a bunch of undergraduate students at Harvard. And he hooked them all up to these biofeedback monitors and instructed them to count to 10. And what he found was not what he expected. So he was talking to the group afterwards. It's like, I expected to see brainwaves still, but they weren't. What's going on? They're like, we got really stressed out trying to count to 10 because they would forget. It's like, am I on 5 or am I on 6? Am I on 4? So he said, okay, everybody count to 5. Still didn't get the results he was looking for. He's like, okay, you guys, what's up? They're like, we're getting stressed out about counting to 5. So he said, all right, let's do this really easily. And we're going to count to 1. And then you start over and you count to 1 again. And as soon as the pressure was taken off for them to use their brain in a way to keep track of something, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and simply went to a single item, 1, 1, or Om Shanti Ananda, or inhale, exhale, something very simple that your brain doesn't have to process, it suddenly showed him what he was expecting to see, which is the way brave wavelength began to slow down. So absolutely, there's no harm in using mantras, and it is a useful tool. But I invite you to add this idea of connecting to your breath as an anchor point, as a focus point, to see where it goes. Because the other thing, as you connect with your breath and as you let go of constructed words, intellectual words, you do begin to settle the mind and you begin to connect with that essence that makes you unique. It's your divine self. It's your God self, your Buddha self, whatever you want to call it. But the more we sit with self in that state of quietness, the more we connect with that higher self, and the more we connect with it, the more we cultivate that, the more that higher self begins to express itself through intuition, the more we begin to have the opportunity to settle the mind and be less busy with it. So it's not just a factor of stilling the mind, it's a factor of connecting with that essence that makes you unique. So meditation is more than just a tool to get the mind to calm down. It's also an opportunity for spiritual growth.
So would you say then, Amy, because I know most of this audience is probably, they're probably very spiritual, or they've been working a spiritual practice most of their lives, but you know, they also have family members and other people that they are around that maybe don't have meditation as a practice. Would you say that working with breath is maybe a first step for people who are noticing a lot of mind chatter in their lives?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I am also a really firm believer that you could choose to have an agnostic life and still be a good meditator. And that was one of the things I actually found fascinating about the program at Stanford, is that the Dalai Lama actually contributed more of his own personal money to this scientific program than he'd contributed to any scientific program before. And Stanford was looking at this as a scientific program. And he said, I will donate this money to this compassion cultivation training program as long as it meets two criteria, that it's completely secular and that the science is rigorous. So a lot of people perceive that meditation is woo-woo. And it's not. It doesn't have to be. And, you know, I mean, whatever woo-woo is, I don't think of myself as a woo-woo person. I'm really quite pragmatic. So this idea of intentionally connecting to breath as a way of stilling the mind can be completely secular. It's available to anybody. And just by the factor of stilling your breath, I'm not saying you have to connect any sort of sense of spirituality to it. The other nice thing about this practice, as I've learned it, is you can be of any faith that you want. I'm not asking you to convert to my Taoism, Confucianism, and Buddhism. I'm asking you to be you and support the best you by bringing your attention to your breath.
And would it be safe to say that there is a measure of patience with oneself that has to go along with this?
Yes, absolutely. So there's, I like to see it as this story arc that starts out with patience, and then it goes to tolerance, it goes to acceptance, and it goes to understanding. So let me give you a little breakdown on those things. So
sure.
The patience just comes with this idea that it takes time. I'm not going to see immediate results. And this is true, okay, going back to emotional difficulties, physical difficulties, challenges in our life. Okay, so this challenge is in front of me. First choice is I'm going to be patient. The second choice, the second thing, step then, is tolerance. Okay, I'm being patient. I've been patient for a while. It's uncomfortable, but I'm going to tolerate it. I'm going to tolerate it. And then once you tolerate that discomfort for a little while, you can begin to shift into acceptance. All right, I recognize this thing is there. I might not have the ability to change it. I can change how I respond to it. I can respond to it rather than reacting to it. I can choose to be patient. I can choose to be tolerant. But I accept that this thing is happening. And then eventually you can get to a place where if you can't change it and it's a big deal to you, you can come to a place of open-hearted understanding.
With the issue, with another person or with yourself.
Yes. So compassion would be another great word for that. So we all have little things that arise. And then it's interesting, during this last week, while I was on this week-long retreat, it kept coming up over and over, work with what's in front of you now. So part of what we often do as human beings is we ruminate about the past or we worry about the future. But our best skill is to be able to work with what we have right now. And it takes patience and tolerance and sometimes acceptance to let go of things that have happened in the past. If you have an opportunity to learn from it by all means. But if you have no opportunity to change what's happened in the past, let it go. Move on. Work on being the best you can be now so that you can move into the future being a better person. And it's like every day we just try to grow and become even better.
So the point is, this is a practice. This isn't something that is a magic bullet or something that just happens overnight.
Right. It is a practice. And I also want to encourage you, like one of the things with a lot of the students that I've worked with in the past is that they have this perception that to be a good meditator means that they have to sit still for 30 minutes and they have to be completely thoughtless. First of all, I'm telling you, as I did earlier on, you will always have thoughts. The goal is just bring yourself back to the breath. Thoughts come up, bring yourself back to the breath. But the other thing is you don't have to do it for 30 minutes.
Right.
If you can connect to your breath for 30 seconds, if you can get grounded into who you are and just go, ah, I'm content with me, I'm breathing, for 30 seconds, that's enough. And if you do that a few times a day, that little incremental process, or it will grow incrementally. Eventually you can take more time, but I hear a lot of people say, oh, I don't have time. It's like you have time to take 2 minutes to breathe. You can do it in the grocery line. You can do it anywhere. So this idea of I have to have this solid chunk of time, it's a blessing if you have it. It's wonderful for you if you can utilize it in that way. But if you don't give up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because everybody has 30 seconds. I mean, we're breathing anyway.
Right, right.
So all you're saying is put your focus on the breath and
yes.
Bring yourself back to a connected, physical, mental, emotional, whatever connection.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about that idea of energy in the body then, and we'll do a couple more exercises. So perhaps you wouldn't have thought of what we did earlier when I invited you to breathe into your belly as a form of meditation, but that, in my mind, is what we were doing. It was maybe a minute at most, but it felt good.
Yeah.
So let me talk a little bit about this idea of chi. So internally, my belief, and there's science that supports it, is that everything in the world is made of energy in one form or another. I'm made of energy. You, Janet, are made of energy. All of you out there that are listening are energetic beings. The plants, the trees, my dog,
my pen,
all of it is energy. It's all vibrating at a certain level.
Yeah.
And so we have this energy that we can work with within ourselves. So if you think about traditional Chinese medicine and acupressure or acupuncture, the reason why though that as a healing tool is effective is because it's working with specific energy lines in the body. It's intentionally trying to unblock stuck energy. And Qigong actually helps you do the same thing. Qigong is a way of working with our internal energy. It's a way of harmonizing with the energy outside of us. And it's a way of beginning to unblock stuck areas. So I'm thinking of what we can do while we're seated. And there's all kinds of things we can do while we're seated. So let's do this. Let's just start out. I'll show you first. What I want you to do is
hold on, Amy. I'm going to clear out your name so people can actually see what your hands are doing.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Great. So all we're going to do is, like we did before, we're going to breathe in through the nose, into the belly, allow it to expand. As we exhale, the belly comes back to center. But as we inhale, I also want us to add this gentle upward motion. So we're going from the dantian, which is here again, the center of the body, three finger widths below the belly button, the source of our internal energy. And we're going to bring our hands up to the level of the heart. We're going to turn them over. And as we exhale, we're going to bring our hands back down to the dantian. So imagine that as you do that, you're bringing the energy up from the dantian to the heart, and you're moving the energy from the heart back down to the dantian. And you can close your eyes, drop your gaze, as you do this very simple motion, inhaling up, exhaling down. Allowing the body to relax, allowing things to flow simply and smoothly. And if you'd like, you can even imagine that there is a golden glow at the dantian, and as you bring the hands up, that golden glow, which represents your interior energy, comes up to the heart, and that golden glow sinks back down. Up and down. Gentle and easy. Noticing the breath, noticing the sensations in the body as you bring the hands up And down. Noticing that sense of relaxation that comes while all you're doing is breathing and moving energy. Connecting with that higher self. Connecting with your internal energy. And the next time your hands come down, let them relax, open your eyes, rejoin the group. So how did that feel, Janet, or anybody else who's listening?
It was really good. And I was feeling energy rising and it ultimately stabilizing.
Yes.
Right. At first I could feel it up and then I could feel it down. And then ultimately I was just in this stream or this flow of energy.
And it became effortless, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you probably weren't thinking about your to-do list, right?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't really thinking about anything now that I think about it.
So it's powerful. It's really powerful. And I love that you use the word stabilizing. This simple motion can bring you, not only you're bringing yourself into yourself, but it also helps you stabilize. And so let's do another one. So I want you just to watch first. What we're going to do is we're going to bring our hands out like we're gathering the energy of the earth below us. Exhale, turn your palms skyward. This might be a little harder to see because I'm where I'm sitting. Bring the hands up over the head so the fingertips are touching like this. And then we're going to bring the hands down the front line of the body back to the dantian. So as we do that, we're going to inhale up. Exhale, drop the arms, turn the palms over. Inhale, gather that energy of the sky above us. Exhale, pull the energy of the sky above us down into our bodies so it harmonizes with our own interior chi. Questions about that before we get going?
No, perfect.
All right. So again, drop your gaze, close your eyes. And the reason why that's important, so if you close your eyes, it provides an opportunity to sink more deeply into self. It allows you to connect more deeply with that higher self or that essence that makes you you. A soft gaze does the same thing. It deactivates the stimulus from the brain. So either way is totally fine. And if you are meditating, and one of the things that happens for you is you tend to fall asleep, if you open your eyes with a soft gaze, it can help you stay awake. Not that anybody's, well, maybe the darling who's over in Australia and it's 2 a.m. there, maybe this will help you go to sleep. So thank you for joining us in the middle of the night. But these kinds of exercises can really help bring you into a settled and calm place for sleeping. Okay, let's give it a shot. So drop the gaze, close the eyes, and inhale. Palms are down to the earth. You're gathering the energy of the earth. Exhale, roll your shoulders back, turn your palms skyward. Inhale, gather that energy of the universe above. Exhale. Bring all of that energy down past the crown chakra, the third eye, past the throat chakra, the heart, past the solar plexus, down to the dantian, and relax the arms. And then inhale, come up, exhale, roll the palms skyward, inhaling up, exhaling down. Pause for a moment, and inhale, bring the arms out the sides. Exhale, roll the palms over, inhale. Just being with yourself, bring with the breath, harmonizing that energy. One more time, bring the hands up. Harmonizing and balancing that energy between you and the world around you. Drawing that energy from outside of yourself into yourself to help support you and bring you vitality. And this time when your hands come down, just relax them on your lap and we'll raise our gaze, come back together. So what are your observations about that, Janet? And or anyone else, please.
Yep. Yeah. Everybody, you can type in, you know, your questions or the results. I noticed Mimi said nice flow, and that was related to the one we did before that. Amazing Flow from Asa. Laura says, Amy, I noticed you keep your glasses on. Can we keep them on when we meditate?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. From my perspective, absolutely. Because I can't see a darn thing without them. Part of it is just, this is who I am. This is how I am. My glasses are just like wearing a shirt. So yes, by all means, if you want to keep them on, I will say though that it's also totally fine to take them off. And the form of meditation that I'm talking with you about can sometimes be filled with active movement, and I'll show you that in a little bit. And so on this week-long retreat I was at, I noticed one of my fellow retreatants, every time that he got called up to be in the center of our group and have our teacher work with him energetically, he would always take his glasses off because he knew that he might go into a space of really big movement and he didn't want his glasses to...
Knocking his glasses off or something.
Yeah. For me, mine are light and they stick to my head like glue. So thank you for asking that question. But it's a personal choice, and my choice is absolutely I wear them because they're rimless. If I take them off and I forget where I put them, I can't see them to find them. Sometimes I have to ask my husband. It's like, honey, can you help me find my glasses?
Can you find my glasses? I only need mine for up close. Otherwise, like right now, you'd be blurry without them. Mm-hmm. When I put them on, oh, there you are.
Okay, so any other questions or what are your thoughts about this exercise, Janet?
I liked this exercise mostly because I like movement. And I also felt kind of energized by that.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Yeah. So both of those things are really great points. The movement, I mean, as human beings, I think most of us really like to move.
Yeah.
A lot of us end up having a more sedentary lifestyle than maybe we were intended to in our human bodies. So this form of meditation for me is perfect because it gives me a chance to move. And then there's that whole energizing component. But you said something else and I forgot what it was. Do you remember what it was?
That it was energizing?
Okay, what? Yeah, movement and energy. Okay.
And I just like that idea of moving and bringing energy in, and then coupling that with the breath. It just felt complete in some ways.
Right. And the thing I like too is that through this process of breathing and moving, we are truly honoring that essence that's within us. We're honoring that higher self because we're honoring that energy that's within. So I know that there are some meditation styles that tell you that you need to sit in a very specific way. And even if you're uncomfortable or you get itchy or whatever, you have to stay locked into that position as a form of discipline so that, you know, you're no longer being ruled by, oh, my nose itches, my nose itches, my nose itches. And I have a friend who's a Zen priest, and that's the way he meditates. And he and I were actually in the Stanford program together.
Uh-huh.
We were meditating together one time, and I'm like, and at the end, he's like, okay, it's you, your meditation is really weird. And I said, okay. You know, it's like, fine. To him, it's totally weird, but to me, I'm just honoring my expression. I'm honoring that energy from within, and I didn't need to tell him, but in my head, I'm thinking, being locked still is weird. But so there's something that is appealing to everybody, and I'm not saying that my way is the only way by any means, but find something that works with you. So...
Yeah, I think that's exactly the point, though, is that there is no one correct way to do this, that you're not messing up by moving and you're not doing it wrong by sitting still. Either way that works for you is the best way.
Absolutely. So yeah. Let's talk a little bit about mudras. So far we've had a couple of movement cycles that are very choreographed. So we've had this one and we've had this one, both of which help us work with our interior energy. A mudra is another way of doing that. Mudra is a Sanskrit word for hand position. There are some that most of us are very familiar with. This is a prayer position. Mm-hmm. It represents an honoring of the divine within. let me back up a little bit so you can see my hands. This, for example, would be, you know, it's a mudra that represents surrender and acceptance, a willingness to surrender to the divine within, a willingness to accept that we can't control all things at all times. So let's do a couple of mudras that I think you know, everybody listening might find helpful. And what I found fascinating is that my wonderful teacher, Leong, being a Chinese man raised in Malaysia, studied mysticism with all different kinds of Southeast Asian mystics. Traditionally, he does not give a lot of explanation. He's just sort of like, okay, now do it. He's beginning to give more explanation. But one of the things that I love is that he wouldn't necessarily always explain what a mudra was. It was more of an opportunity for you to figure out what it meant for you. So I would move into spontaneous mudras, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, all the time, and I never knew what they meant. And then when I put together a mudra series with the intention of cultivating compassion, I did some research about what these different mudras mean, and all of a sudden it's like, aha. So for me, when I would meditate, well, I'll talk about it now. So this form of meditation not only allows us to connect with our breath, connect with movement in a formalized fashion, but also you can practice with just allowing whatever the energies within you, however they want to move, allow them to move. And we will get deeper into that in a minute. But what I found is that at a certain stage of my life, being the shrinking violet that I was, filled with fear, I would spontaneously burst into this hand position all the time in my meditation. Well, I had no idea. So it's right hand up, palm out, left hand is down on the lap. I had no idea that this mudra actually represents fearlessness.
Oh, my goodness.
How amazing is that? The kid who needed to work with fear spontaneously came into this mudra of fearlessness. So let's
that
go.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Oh, and we'll do these two together. The other one that I spontaneously would come into a lot is you bring your thumb and index finger together, and then the hand is across the heart, palm in towards the chest. So rotate your hand. There you go. Beautiful. The thumb and index finger together represents knowledge of the heart, or knowledge, and the hand across the heart represents knowledge of the heart. I would burst into this spontaneously all the time too. So sometimes I would have no fear or courage, and sometimes I would have knowledge of the heart. I had to have the courage to look at what was inside my heart, because I spent most of my life not liking me at all. And then it's like, okay, you've got to take a look at what's in there and go, that's in the past, move forward. And now I like myself just fine. I hope you like me too. If you don't, I'm sorry, but I like me, and that's what matters.
That's the important thing.
What's that?
I said that's the important thing.
That's the important thing. So let's all go ahead and drop our gaze, close our eyes, bring our right hand up by the shoulder, palm facing outward, left hand is on the lap, relaxed, palm up, and we'll just breathe in through the nose, down through the belly. And just simply notice what it feels like to be in this position. It may feel like nothing. It may feel comfortable. It may feel uncomfortable. There's no right or wrong. There's no need to be curious. Just simply observe how it feels to breathe and how it feels to be in your body. And this mudra, as is true with all mudras, is just simply a way of aligning energy. In this case, we're aligning that energy into courage, into fearlessness. And then bring that right thumb and index finger together and bring the hand across the heart, palm in towards the heart. Continue breathing into the belly. And again, just notice if you feel the same or different There's no right or wrong. It's totally okay if you're not noticing anything profound. But know that the energy and the alignment of energy is working within you, even if you're not noticing it. And let's go ahead and bring our hands back into our laps, open our eyes, regain connection with everyone. Thoughts, observations, ahas.
Let's see. For me, when I had my hand up like this in the courage position, I felt energy coming off me and out to the world. I became very mindful about what it was I might be shooting out there to other people. Mm-hmm. And when I did this one, it was another feeling of just complete calm, you know, just coming into oneself, centered.
Great, great. Any observations from anybody else? Let's see here.
Kathy Miller, good morning to you. She says, I heard a story about a priest, rabbi, and Baptist arguing about the correct place and mode of praying. An old farmer was listening and told them he fell into a well head first and was praying the whole time. Kathy, love you, Kathy. Let's see. I haven't gotten any other. Let's see. Any Debbie just saying, Laura, I don't think that matters. Intention is everything. Whatever works for you. In response to Laura's question about glasses on or glasses off. And that's it for the moment.
Okay, great. Yeah. So, and that's the other fun thing about this courage mudra is, again, we are extending energy all the time and receiving energy all the time. So if you actually felt like you were extending energy outward, you perhaps were extending your courage out to all the beings in the world, known and unknown, who need that support at the moment. Sometimes you might feel it coming in the other way, like you're receiving energy in to help you work with that, whatever challenge is going on.
There's a couple of comments coming in here. Mimi, I felt more with the first mudra, a wonderful, cool flow of energy. So the first mudra, was that the courage or was that the one that we did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm guessing she means this one.
Yes. And Asa says, the first one, I felt heat in my palm and right hand.
Excellent. I mean, all the answers are excellent, but it's not everybody has that sensitivity to notice the energy in their hands. So it's neat to know that you do that. You do have that sensitivity to it.
Yeah. And Asa says that the second one, she felt her heart beating faster.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah, so, and that I think is the real fun with it as you begin to practice this style of meditation, is just observing without judgment of what's going on around you. So then the last thing that you could work on, and maybe we'll wind up with this, is, and then, you know, I'll answer any questions you have, Janet, but is the idea that as we practice with this, we begin to just simply allow, as we connect with our higher self, as we connect with our energy through the breath, we begin to let the mind step aside and then allow spontaneous movement to come up in whatever way is right for us. So as I mentioned earlier, years ago, I used to spontaneously just move into mudras like this. So for example, then I'm just going to meditate for a little bit and I'll show you what I'm talking about. And everything that you might see is not choreographed by me. It is how my energy wants to move in this moment. I don't need to understand why. I don't need to have any judgment or curiosity about it. What I do know is that I'm allowing my essence, my higher self, to drive the movement, and that in the process of moving, I'm harmonizing my internal energy. That's all I need to know. And this process of harmonizing with your internal energy then allows us to begin dissolving energetic blocks that are stuck in the body, which is where we started with this morning. It's like, that's one of the things we wanted to talk about.
Right.
So I'm just going to meditate for a moment. I always start with a bow. Oh, quick other thing. So I always start with a bow, and there's this really cool thing that when you bring your hands together like this, it's a shortcut for the brain to go, oh yeah, we're going to meditate now. It's bringing the left and right brain together. So it's harmonizing the left and right brain. It's a shortcut so the brain knows, okay, this means we're going to meditate, and it helps drop us into a state of meditation faster than if we didn't bow. Again, I'm not bowing to anything specific. I'm bowing as an honoring of the divine within, and I'm bowing to honor the energy of the world around me as well. So here we go. And I always close with a bow as well. So you can see there that I'm guessing there was a slight change in the in my facial features. Mm-hmm. You could see the flowing of the movement. I couldn't even replicate for you now what I just did because my brain was checked out. I was just sitting with myself and harmonizing and flowing with whatever was in. I have no idea why. I don't care why. It's me being me and letting my divine wisdom inspire the movement, which in the long run is helping. The thing I can say why is it's helping me cultivate my own chi.
Yeah. Somebody has a really good question about that. This is from Asa. She says, is the chi the same as our kundalini?
Oh, great question, and I have no idea how to answer. I don't know anything about kundalini. So if kundalini is a word that represents interior energy, then yes, I suppose so. But I don't know what kundalini means.
I think, you know, kundalini is energy that rises up from the spine, you know, from the earth up the spine, or maybe it comes down into, it probably literally is maybe a different word for the same thing, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, but also then consider, do trees have kundalini? Does your pen have kundalini? I don't know.
I don't know either.
So, perhaps I will see if I can do some research and then I'll answer your question on the post.
Yeah, that might be a good thing because I don't know that answer. I know there's things like kundalini yoga. I mean, a specific kind of yoga meant to raise the kundalini energy, but I don't know if that's the same as chi. You know, maybe chi is a Chinese word, right? Or an oriental word. And then kundalini sounds like it might be Sanskrit or Indian. I don't know. So,
yeah, and there's lots and lots of overlap amongst these longtime traditions. And one of the things that I like about the practice I follow is there's very little dogma. You know, there are suggestions when you're like in the mudra series that I have, that I offer on my Monday morning class, there are very specific directions that the hands go because they're specifically energies that I'm working with. But, you know, if all of a sudden I was moving spontaneously and my left hand came up, I don't think there's any right or wrong with that. It's just what is in that moment. So I don't know if kundalini is referring specifically to a formulaic or a more formalized movement of energy.
Yeah.
I would say that that's probably different than chi. Chi is just what is. Chi is part of the Tao. The Tao is the oneness of all. So if kundalini represents a oneness of all, then yes, different word for the same thing. Otherwise, if kundalini is a specific flow or specific movement, then perhaps it is its own thing.
Well,
just guessing.
I'm going to Google it after we're done this morning and see. just a couple of comments from others here. Laura says, this ties into the divine gifts, the need to move if stuck. This is, we had a lady on Friday who Deborah, what is her last name? Lupien, Deborah Lupien, who talked to us about the Akashic records and what our divine gifts are and how to move them out into the world. Mm. And so I think that's what Laura's talking about here. Let's see. Laura also says she loved the two mudras, felt really loved.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm glad that that's your experience with them. I'm happy to share those with you and go take them and use them as much as you want.
Yeah. Now, a quick question. I don't know that there's a quick answer, but we can use these things, these tools, in any kind of situation, my guess is. So if you're in the middle of what looks like it's going to be a heated argument with somebody, or that you're having to face something that you didn't necessarily want to have to face in that moment, you can resort to breathing or any of those in the moment. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, the feedback I'm hearing is that people felt calm. They felt relaxed.
Yes.
They felt centered and stable. So absolutely any of these can be very useful in times of tension or distress. Certainly going back to the breath and breathing deeply and slowly is a fantastic tool to use. And also, if you do take a few deep, slow, full, intentional breaths, it gets you into a space where you can respond to a situation rather than reacting to it. And I bet all of us would rather respond rather than react in time of crisis.
Right. Reacting is more, it doesn't give you any space to choose. You're just reacting.
Absolutely. So any of these tools, and the more you can harmonize with your own internal energy, the more stable you'll end up being in any situation.
That's pretty cool. Mimi says, Kundalini, if I understand it, is a powerful inner rising of energy from the inner body, where this energy feels more like chi feels more like a universal energy within and without, bringing the energies together.
Okay. I think Mimi's probably hit it on the head. Yeah, and I agree with that completely, that chi is both internal and external.
Nice. And Asa agreed with Mimi, so that's kind of cool. So Amy, I know it's already 10 to 9. I don't even know where the time goes when we're having these chats. but I want to give you a moment to tell people about some things that are going on for you. And I could actually share my screen, because one of the things that you've been working on is a quiz. And I'm assuming you would love people to take that and entertain the idea of who they are from this quiz. So in just a second here, I'm going to share. Oops, I can't do it that way. I'm going to share my screen with everybody. It'll just take me a moment to choose that tab. There we go. So tell us about this quiz and what can people find out about that themselves from this?
Sure. So this is a new thing I've put together, and I think it's kind of fun. And ultimately, because I can't see Janet's screen, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but I think it's called something like Figure Out the Next Step of Your Journey. And I put it together to help people do just that. What I've realized is I work with all kinds of different clients, either in groups or in private coaching or on international retreats. And you, as you work your way through the quiz, then it gives you an answer at the end of you are
a
by blah. And then and it gives you, you know, a sentence or two about what that might mean. But then if you want to go deeper, you can get access to a personalized guide that has 3 Qigong exercises, has a lot of inspirational quotes and photos, and some really rich text, sort of like lessons in there. And then, so it gives you some tools. It gives you 3 Qigong tools that you can use to help you move into this next way of being. So it's pretty fun. And I just launched it.
Yeah. And I had the privilege of testing this behind the scenes while she was putting this together. And I was really excited by it. I really loved it. So what I've done now is put the link up on the screen for everybody. It's at amypattycolvin.com/quiz. Easy deal, right? In fact, I think the link will actually be live if they choose to click on that.
Absolutely.
And they get an email report back, right?
Or takes it right to a person. Yeah, an email personalized guide.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty cool. And you might just be able to discover some things, some truths about yourself in this quiz. And let's see, the other thing that you have going on is a Cultivating Peace of Mind monthly meditation program for a more resilient life. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is also something that I've just started. It's officially going to kick off in May. So you guys are getting the early bird view of it. And it is exactly what the title says. It's a monthly program that helps you cultivate peace of mind. And so each month for an early bird price of $9 a month, or if you wanted to buy the whole year, you'd get 25% off to $81. But what you receive then is two guided meditations that tie to a specific theme that we're working with for the month. You'll receive a checklist so that you can either print it out or have. Sometimes it's really nice to have that support of, did I meditate today? Did I not? Did I do this? You know, did I practice this idea in daily life today? So there's a checklist there to help you with that. There's some beautiful inspirational sayings on with beautiful photos that you can use as on your desktop or for your phone background wallpaper. And then once a month, we have a live session where I will talk about the value of that theme of the month. We'll do a simple Qigong exercise that ties with that. We'll do a guided meditation, and there'll be time for questions and answers. So it's not a huge commitment, but it gives you an opportunity to stay consistent with your practice. And we'll cover topics like patience, tolerance, acceptance, understanding, self-appreciation, self-compassion, humility, simplicity, all of those kinds of things. So when you go to the website that Janet's going to load up there, you'll see what the themes are for the 12 months. And it's just going to be an ongoing program.
Yeah, they're actually able to see right now the 12 months, 12 tools with beginning in May, simplicity. So I like that. That's a perfect way to begin and moving through some of the same things that you were just talking about. And there's the monthly plan. It's $9 a month with early bird pricing, or an annual plan with early bird, $81 a month. So awesome. And hold on. I'm going to put that link back up because I didn't keep it up there very long. And so, Amy, any last thoughts for people that want to get started with meditation? Because, you know, I know this morning you were doing something. What is it that you do at 7 a.m.? You're doing something.
So that is the last thing I wanted to share with folks, and I didn't give you a link for it. But on Monday mornings from 7:15 to 7:45 Pacific time, I do a 30-minute Facebook Live class where we spend the first 30 minutes doing Qigong exercises of various forms, getting your body going, getting your energy flowing. And then the last half of the course, or the last half of that 30 minutes time frame, is a seated mudra meditation that is designed with the emphasis for cultivating compassion. So you're welcome to join me. If you go to my page, which is Facebook.com/ Amy Pat T. Colvin, you'll see on that page that there's a group called Compassion Meditation and Qigong Practice Group. That's the group I'm talking about. You're welcome to join me there. Just answer, you know, how'd you find it? How do you most like to meditate? And then you can be available or you can join us live Monday mornings. If you're not available Monday mornings at 7:15, just like Janet's show here, I'm sure it's left up live for a while, if not in perpetuity. My classes, that 30-minute class each week, is left up either sometimes forever or sometimes I'll take it down on Thursday. So if you're not available right then and there to do it live with us, you'll have access to that class later on in the day or in the week.
What a great way to start your week, right?
Right. And that's my goal is to help people become, you know, have vitality and also to feel well-grounded at the same time.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us this morning, Amy, and, you know, helping us learn more about how to manage our energy and move energy, talking about chi and how we can become more centered in our lives. I really appreciate that, and I'm sure the listeners do too. So I put up your website, amypattycolvin.com, and you can check out all the work that Amy does and engage with her and maybe find yourself moving more and more to peace, love, and compassion. And that's it for us today. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful week. I'll be back here tomorrow morning where we'll take a look at the astrology of the week as Venus and Mars both ingress new signs. You'll want to know how that changes the flavor of the energies coming up for the next few weeks. All right, everybody. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Amy.
You bet. Nice time to be here.
All right. Bye for now, everybody.